Hey everybody, Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. How are you? Thursday, we made it. Couple more days, and then it's sweet, sweet Saturday, baby. I was just talking to Avery Pearson in New York last week about how we need to get rid of Mondays. He goes, "What would be your first executive order as president?" I said, "Get rid of Mondays, man. People fucking hate Mondays." And as a result, they'd be way more pumped for Tuesday. You know what I'm saying? And you'd, people would be like, instead of, you know, "I hate Mondays," it'd be like, "Terrific Tuesdays." And then Wednesday gets even more recognition because now it's a shorter week. You got wonderful Wednesdays. You got terrific, terrific Tuesdays. Yeah, wonderful Wednesdays. Thirsty Thursdays. You're thirsty for the weekend's coming. Fuck yeah, Fridays. Slow it down Saturday, right? Easing into the weekend. Sunday Funday has been established. It's been around. No change needed there. And then guess what? Mondays. That's right. Used to hate it. Now you love it. Some of you are like, isn't the Campbell Soup slogan? No. It's good. This is just Mondays. So get on it, Trump. Make the change everybody wants. That would be the one thing that I would go, all right, go on. I'm listening. You make that move, and maybe we're on an upward swing. Anyway, hope you guys have been having a great week. I'm in Dallas tonight through Sunday with my boy Amir K at the Addison Improv. So come out and see us tonight through Sunday, Addison Improv. I'll get to the tour dates later, though. Today's episode is, holy shit, one of those classic ALN fun from top to bottom episodes. It's got sports, movies, comedy. Our guest is Ben Lyons. That's right, baby. Been wanting to do this episode for a while. I've known Ben for a while. I met him when he worked for Yahoo, and I did this hosting gig called Yahoo on the Road. Ben did this thing where he went all over the country in a tour bus, and they did work with bands and all these amazing theaters and venues, and he hosted it, and then they had little correspondents in each city do some pieces for the internet, and I did one of those. And he had me on his ESPN show when my Seahawks were in the Super Bowl a few years ago and beat the Broncos. He's worked for MTV. He had a show on E! Called The Daily 10. He just live stream hosted the Oscars. Holy shit. He's got a show on NBA TV called The Warm Up. He does it all, man. Movies, sports. Hosts a show here at ESPN on 710. He's the man. He does it all. And his stories are pretty fucking bonkers, dude. He's done and seen everything. It's one of those careers that you go, man, you worked your butt off to get there. Some luck involved, some who you know, just all the components that you need. And then he hustles his ass off, man. Flies every Thursday to Atlanta to do the NBA TV show. And he's a great dude, man, and a good hang and a solid conversation. And you guys are going to love it. So tweet at Ben, at I am Ben Lyons, and let him know you love the episode. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy, at Funny Brad, at ALN Podcast, at ALN Podcast on Instagram, Adam Ray Comedy on Instagram, Brad Williams Comic on Instagram, AdamRayTV.com for all my tour dates. Dallas this weekend, tonight through Sunday with Amir K and Avery Pearson at the Addison Improv. Get your tickets at improv.com. Next weekend, I'm at the St. Louis Funny Bone in St. Louis, Missouri. Can't wait. Fifth time at that club. Tickets at AdamRayTV.com. That's March 23rd through the 25th. And then, of course, April 1st, the Shrine Auditorium in Los Angeles. The Kevin and Bean April Foolishness Show. So pumped. 5,000 people. The Shrine, downtown LA. Me, Bill Burr, Jimmy Pardo, Angela Johnson, Jonah Ray, Taylor Williamson, and some special guests. Can't fucking wait. Brad Williams tonight is at the Comedy Connection in East Providence, Rhode Island, tonight and tomorrow. Get your tickets at bradwilliamscomedy.com. And then Saturday, he's at the Big Wilbur Theater in Boston, Saturday, March 18th. Go get your tickets, bradwilliamscomedy.com, aboutlastnightpodcast.com for all the merch. Our shirts are up there, hats are coming in the next few days, posters right after that. Get your merch, bring them to the shows, we'll sign them, take pics, and continue to subscribe on iTunes, rate and comment on the podcast on iTunes, helps us climb the charts, and keep bringing you more fun content, huh? Like we're doing in the next few weeks with the creator of Rick and Morty, with Theo Vaughn, with Jerry Ferrara, with Adam Devine. We're doing a tour recap episode in the next few weeks. Can't wait for that. And also make sure you subscribe to my other podcast, Good Call with Josh Wolf. Sports, comedy, you know it, you love it. We've had a Michelle Beadle, Jonathan Coachman from ESPN. We have an Olympic gold medalist coming up soon, and some other special surprises. So subscribe to Good Call on iTunes, rate it, comment, and show the love that way. All right, now that we got the tour dates out of the way, that's the merch info and the Twitter handles. So sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with the very funny and the good dude. The good dude. It's Ben Lyons.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself. It's about last night.
That's someone who could marry Katy Perry.
Wait, he married Katy Perry?
Yeah, for like a month, okay. 6 months, something.
Ben, you know decent about me. I don't know if you know my infatuation with Katy Perry.
She's number one?
Yeah, she's number one.
She's number one right in now. His mind and his heart.
She's getting, I mean, look, I had a, here's how I know my love and lust was strong. I had a NyQuil dream in which I was going down on her. And I was like, that's pretty strong. Like, also, give it up for NyQuil.
Very giving also, of yourself, too.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I would be...
supportive
like
partner.
It's your dream. But yeah. I chose in the dream to be like, no, this one's on me.
Well, it was strange walking in here because I didn't know about this Katy Perry connection.
Yeah.
But, you know, a long time ago, I used to work at the E! Channel.
Yep.
I remember produced this for international series about Katy Perry as her career was rising. And, like, this is the shitty apartment she lived in right when she moved to Los Angeles. I was like, I know I recognize it from somewhere. I'm like, wow, you actually live here now, too. Yeah. That's pretty deep.
You were E! For how long?
6 years.
That's right.
6 years. Yeah. And for those of you who know, your dad was an entertainment reporter.
Still is, yeah.
Still is.
So awesome talking to him at 72, and he's just like, I got to get to this Logan screening.
Oh, my God.
He's still hustling.
Oh, he's in it.
So, and is he fully plugged into pop culture? Like, can he tell you about who Miley Cyrus is dating?
More,
not so much that.
On a Kirk Douglas 100th anniversary, box set or a little Burt Lancaster talk. Or,
okay.
Or, I don't know, the latest M. Night to a Hitchcock he might have you covered. But who Miley's hanging out. Can you keep up with who Miley Cyrus is dating?
I canceled my subscription to Miley.com like at least 5 months
after
ago.
After the haircut.
I'd like to see a couple indie films from Miley.
Totally.
Like supporting role at Sundance. If people see it and it's a hit, great. And if they don't, so what? At least you did it. And
right. Yeah. Wouldn't it be crazy if her doing a dramatic scene across from Ben Kingsley or something? That would just be something crazy. Maybe I'm having one of those NyQuil dreams right now because I just said Miley Cyrus and Ben Kingsley in the same sentence. Could be.
Your dad then must have been the one that got you into this whole world, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. You grow up, watching movies you shouldn't have seen, other kids aren't seeing at an early age and going to film festivals and screenings and interviews and people would call the house and, all that kind of stuff.
So he took you on every piece.
So he was just part of our life. It was just, and his father... my grandfather, who I never met, he wrote for the New York Post for 40 years covering nightlife in New York. Oh, yeah. And
Reporter legacy.
I laugh at some of the things that I've gotten to do in my career and how they're similar on some level to my grandfather and my dad, but a little different. My dad learned how to shoot a gun at Hemingway's house in Cuba. I went to the LAX gun range with the rapper Nocturnal.
Similar but different.
Yeah.
Same boat, different. You know what? I'm sure in 50 years they'll be speaking of Nocturnal the same way they speak of Hemingway.
Exactly.
Well, some say Nocturnal is the Hemingway of our generation.
I've heard that million times.
We have a coffee table in our house that was a gift. I think Fred Astaire danced on it or something. And then I was just moving to a new house and I found some fingerless leather gloves from a night out with Wilmer Valderrama. And I was like, oh, yes. This makes sense.
Dude, fingerless leather gloves, Wilmer
so
Valderrama.
Wilmer, put on some fingers.
This is some sort of weird Hollywood game of Clue, where it was Wilmer Valderrama with the fingerless leather glove in the Viper Room.
Wait, is it Wilmer
Sundance
or Wilder?
Activation.
Wilmer? Yeah.
You just said Wilder.
Sure. I got him mixed up with the guy that goes, "I've got diabetes." I kind of said that. Who's that dude? Wilfred Brimley.
Wilfred Brimley.
He's got diabetes.
And that's the kind of worlds colliding that my grandfather used to pride himself on, is that he did know, you know, athletes and writers and actresses and politicians, and he loved, and because that's what it was back then. It was people who were well known for being accomplished.
Yeah.
And he would go out six nights a week covering all the theater and nightlife and hangouts and write little anecdotes. And so that's how my dad kind of grew up in it. And by extension, now I kind of grew up in it. He wrote 12,000 columns, but passed away before I was born. So I've kind of looked through all
this
stuff. Yeah,
how much stuff have you gone through?
It's so
and
cool.
Trying
and it's
to
like
educate.
Certain actors and stuff have done interviews with all three of us. I have great photos of my grandfather with Dustin Hoffman at the premiere of The Graduate.
Oh, my God.
I interviewed Dustin Hoffman for Kung Fu Panda. So, you know.
That's not
really
lost on you, though, right? Like, you
really
think
great.
Of that when it's going
yeah,
down,
of course.
Right?
Or at Julie Andrews. I showed her old photos of her and my grandfather and stuff. And
it's cool. So like, cool.
Yeah.
What about your pops taking you along for the ride? Like, at what moment do you remember either, like, a movie premiere or maybe hearing him getting to talk to them, or was there a question even the way he did it that made you just like pique your interest at the whole world? Or
there's a game in Long Island, a softball game called the Artists and Writers Game.
That sounds
and
amazing.
I saw Saving Private Ryan the night before. I'm 12 years old, and the next day Ed Burns is in the game, and I just sat in the dugout with him and asked him a million questions and just talked to him about the film. And that experience stayed with me of like, I can see a movie and sit down with someone involved in making it and ask him anything I want to ask him and just have a conversation.
Wow. Now, were you
like,
so...
Oh, it's super dope. And he was probably like, get this kid out of the game.
Yeah, it's 7 inches. Kid, quit asking.
We got a reservation afterwards. Right. We're going to Nobu. Like, come on. Get this kid out of here.
Wait, now, you said like at 12 years old?
Yeah.
Now, most... Like, 12 years old, like... I guess as a kid, you're starting to come into being a kid and like a little... Starting to really develop that lack of a filter and more, boisterous. But like... Were you just always that way, or did you not like, you knew it was a cool thing to be doing, but you were just so comfortable around it that you were not thinking like, oh my God, this is Ed Norton, don't ask a stupid question?
Yeah, it's also Ed Burns, not Ed Norton, be a different movie. But I think that my mom always says to me, you just were comfortable around it. You know, my dad's best friend is the Red Sox radio announcer, so we go to Fenway, we sit in the booth and would go interview the players and stuff with him. And you know, I was always this like real fan with real cool access.
Yeah,
and I appreciated it, but wasn't fazed by it. It wasn't wide-eyed by it, I think.
Now, when you told your dad, like, hey, this is something I want to get into, was he thrilled about that? Was he like, no, what are you doing? Like, I'm telling my son to go for a life of cocaine and hookers.
Because if you've seen my dad's movie reviews, that's kind of lifestyle.
He needs to.
The big guy was
like, I don't know.
Asked my dad if he ever got high in the 70s. He said, no, I was high on baseball. I was like, I get it.
Wow.
Yeah, it's classic. But was he...
So was Doc Gooden.
Yeah, true. Was he encouraging you of getting into the business?
When I left school, I went to Michigan and just wanted to start working and moved back to New York. I wanted to be Russell Simmons and manage rappers and produce and run around New York. And I did a Bone Thugs and Harmony video.
Oh my God, so did I.
My mother.
Wait, what did you do?
It was,
first of all, I thought you said Richard Simmons and not Russell Simmons
when you first said that.
So I'm glad to clarify. But what was the Bone Thugs?
Both of those men have a real appreciation for fitness.
Thank you.
Russell has a new yoga studio on Sunset.
By the way, Simmons and Simmons, why haven't they opened that yoga studio?
They both have a passion for fitness, music.
Yeah. I mean, one made the music of the 80s, one sweated to the music of the 80s. So.
Right, colored clothing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's
really a lot of similarities.
Yeah. All spandex.
Dude, if Snoop and Martha can come together, why can't Richard and Russell?
Richard and Russell. All right. So I was doing that. Yeah, my mom did the catering on a Bone Thugs and Harmony video that wasn't Crossroads money. This was like 10 years later. And I remember loading them into a car. We didn't have money for a car service in the video. It was our family minivan. And lazy and crazy and busy, and everybody gets in the van. And my mom, and she just drives them to the set. And there's no room for me. And I was like, I'm going to jump on the train. I'll see ya. So I had all these wild hip-hop adventures early in my career in New York. And took Nate Dogg to a dog spa once and have him give an old English sheepdog a bath. Like, just did weird stuff.
No, that was a mushroom trip. That wasn't real.
So when I went, my dad was like, yo, I have this opportunity with MTV to kind of interview actors, and I really want to pursue it. And he was like all in. He was like, yes, as long as you're not in the studio with Raekwon anymore, like, please.
What was the gig?
I told him I went to the Lox concert last night here in LA, and I told him I was seeing the Lox, and he goes, Jewish? I go, no.
So funny. No, such a Jew.
So great.
Wait, what was the MTV gig?
The first thing I did on TV was a show called Your Movie Show.
Okay.
It's me and Soo Chin Park.
Yep.
I remember Soo Chin Park.
First three interviews I ever did on TV, half hour each, Will Smith, Angelina Jolie, and Jack Black.
What?
Whoa.
Anybody have heard of?
They just tossed you in.
They just go for it.
How did you get, just to backtrack a minute, so Michigan, you were doing what, broadcast journalism? Or
I was an English major and running around hitting the radio station and, you know,
You were working at a radio station?
Yeah, late night hip hop show, like 2-3 in the morning on, you know, Monday. Like, who's listening to that, you know?
What, great experience, yeah?
Oh, yeah, Michigan was awesome, man. A lot of my friends in LA are people I knew from college. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of a reason why I moved out here years after.
But you knew, it being in Michigan, you're like, eventually I'm coming out to LA to try to transition to TV.
No, I mean, I moved back to New York, and honestly, New York changed a lot. Like, I don't know how deep, I know you're from Seattle. I don't know how deep your relationship with New York is or when you first started going out there. But the city changed a lot and was getting more expensive. And I tried to be in the music business, and the music business is insane. Like, I had funny stories to tell now, but what? The music business is nuts.
What did you want to do in it?
I don't even know. You're 20, 21, 22. Yeah. You just want to be in it. You just want to touch the culture. You just want to be in it on any level. So, yeah, I had a lot of love for that time in my life, but I knew, all right, I want to try moving out to LA. It's so much cheaper. The weather. You play golf in January.
Yeah,
come out here with like half a brain.
Yeah.
Half. You'll be ahead of 90% of the game.
Yeah. This is true.
Right? Seriously. So, I gave it a shot, I don't know, about 12 years ago, and it's fun.
And MTV, I mean, that was what year when you jumped aboard?
04, 05?
Yeah, so they're still very, I think, heavy into, like, the interview.
I just mean Soo Chin. I'd never been on television before, and it was Soo Chin Park.
Yeah, that was Soo Chin Park and Sway, like that group of like
Serena Oucho.
Loader. Loader was still there.
Still in the studio with Madonna, probably right now, getting exclusive with candles lit like this.
Yeah, sure.
Tabitha Soren walking on the on Venice with Tupac, and he had a leather vest, and no one's stopping them.
Fuck.
Gotta love it. So that must have been surreal, because you probably grew up watching all that shit, and you're like, now you're.
I threw a party at 4040 for my first time on TV.
Oh my God.
Damn. Jay-Z's club?
Yeah, I don't think he was there, but I threw the party. That was pretty sick. What tells you a lot about me at 22 years old.
Well, sure. You're on TV one time, and you're like, let's blow it up.
I got $1,500 to go on TV on MTV. Yeah, like, let me throw a party. 40-40.
They're going
to
do a 30-30 on my 40-40 party.
It's going to cost me $5,000 to throw the party, but fuck it.
How much prep do you do for Will Smith? Is that just like, yo, man, Big Willie style?
Well, that whole experience, actually, jokes aside, taught me a lot, because I wanted to go in, and you have half an hour, and it's a long time. Yeah, you want to do something like this, where you ask them about their career and the first things they did, and, you know, and it's MTV, and they're going to use 2 minutes of it, maybe, and it's for Shark Tale, an animated movie. So where do you like to pee? The pool and the ocean is probably going to make the show.
Nice.
Right. Not really talking about 6 degrees of separation and why he isn't taking more serious roles throughout his career.
Right.
Not really the the venue.
They don't want to get into that.
Real quick though,
Todd McCullough's ear size? You know what I mean?
Yeah, what
also
pull.
Came up in the interview.
Todd how is he?
Because Philadelphia. Sixers were popping then.
Amazing. McCullough's a UW guy.
Got
I watched him play. Yeah.
Got like a huge contract.
Guess what, man? Went to the finals. A integral part of that squad.
That team is so doody when you go and look at it.
The Sixers?
Oh, that Sixers team.
Dude, who's the power forward?
Derek Coleman was
no,
maybe? Tyrone Hill.
Tyrone Hill.
You know,
underrated, dude. Will never be in the Hall of Fame, but like, Tyron Hill was like an Ori type player that contributed at a high level, but
I remember this NBA Inside Stuff segment with Tyron Hill, like, I'm going to show you guys Cleveland, and him just driving around Cleveland, and this is like 1993,
the height of stuff.
Downtown Cleveland or whatever. Sure. So you're like, well, it's a tough day on set. Now that I'm like in sports media, thinking about the camera crew, the location scout.
So you know all the things that went into that day.
You're in Cleveland and you have, you know, the most uncharismatic dude.
Tyrone Hill playing tour guide in 90s Cleveland. That's a tough day.
That's like, I'd rather go to Disneyland with Mutombo and be like, yo, man, show me.
Well, sure, because then at least when like Captain Hook runs up to you and like tries to mess with you a little bit, he gets to wag his finger and go, no. Yeah. That's perfect. That's my Dikembe Mutombo impression.
Better than your Wilfred Brimley or whatever. It's very similar.
But
But speaking of NBA centers from foreign countries going to Disneyland, the highlight of this next season was the Sports Center segment that
Porzingis
did at Disneyland.
Yes, I saw
it. He put the teacups on, did the Cars ride, he had the little ears. Nothing else from this New York Knicks season brought me as much joy as that moment.
Oh, no, for real?
It's a real thing.
Well, I mean, if you look at the Knicks season this year, there's not much that could bring you all that much joy.
Imagine you're a Seattle fan, so yeah. There's obviously a lot to go into with that. But imagine as a child or as a 25-year-old man.
Like, I went through it.
You didn't go through this. Hey, everybody at Key Arena, look who's here tonight. Detlef Schrempf, old player from this. Oh, wait, he's getting arrested?
Oh, yeah.
What do you mean he's getting arrested?
Yeah, what would be
what
our
the
version
fuck is
of that?
That?
Yeah.
That
was, for you it might be like Sean Kemp or like Perkins.
Hey, it'd be Perkins.
Yeah, hey, yeah. Long arm Sam Perkins is here. You remember from the 96
High
Sonics.
High as fuck.
There he is in the front row. What? He's being arrested?
Yeah. Were you, now as a diehard Knicks fan, you were probably all on Oak side, right? Like, or are you like, listen, yo, man, you're drunk. What are you doing shoving people?
Charles Oakley isn't the first guy to go in the Garden a couple cocktails deep and yell at James Dolan, right? Yeah. We've all been there.
Yes, dude.
It's called a Tuesday versus the Hawks. Like, yeah.
If you have an opportunity to yell at Dolan, you take it.
That's what's part of the price of admission, So, yeah. I don't know, man. It's a really shitty situation that can only happen in New York. And, of course, you ride with Oakley on it. I mean, why isn't he involved in the franchise in some way? Or you just figure it out.
Sure. Why aren't so many Knick greats involved? Like, I would have that whole 94 squad in the front office.
It's so depressing when they sell the history of the franchise as a team that was just almost... Yeah. Like, y'all, you all know this team. They got to the second round and beat the Sixers in that first round playoff series in 1989. It's the 27th anniversary. Round of applause. Favorite, Johnny Newman, round of applause.
Favorite Knicks squad of all time?
I like that 99 team. Everybody talks about the 94 team. The 99 team that, made it to the finals, the 8 seed. I always love that team. Chris Childs punched Kobe in the face on national TV.
Unreal.
Marcus Camby.
Camby was a baller, dude. I thought he'd be a Hall of Famer through you guys.
Yeah. I don't know. I think, unfortunately, I don't know if this happened to Marcus or not, but just the city of New York kind of gets a hold of some of these dudes.
That was my next question.
And just Fashion Week becomes a thing, and Amari Stoudemire starts dressing like Lenny Kravitz on acid.
Yeah.
There's only one Lenny Kravitz. The iced out menorah and the fur hats.
What are you doing?
You know what I mean?
That wasn't Phoenix. That wasn't Glendale, Arizona.
That wasn't his press conference at the Garden. You can look it up, and he goes, the Knicks are back, and he's got a Men's Warehouse suit and a beeper on his belt. And he's outside the Garden. You can look up the photo, and then you see him now, and it's, Fashion Week and wine baths, and no other professional athlete bathes in red wine.
Yeah, and then does a whole video piece on it to show the world. It's like, dude, there's some things we don't need. Like, I know we live in this age with social media and everything where it's like there's so much access and ways to, and everyone's like, I want to share so much. It's like, man, still, I love the idea of like not knowing everything about your heroes.
Right.
Tom Hanks isn't like, isn't Snapchatting his wine tasting trips. Although, now that I say that,
By the way, Hanks, man,
if you're listening, we'd love to see what you're doing in Sonoma next weekend.
Rita Wilson weekend in Sonoma? So nice, man. Traveling Sisterhood of the Yaya Pants or whatever that is. Yeah, that's a nice rom-com waiting to happen.
Was that a weird Beach Boys song?
I don't know.
Track?
A bunch of those movies.
I know, that'd be great.
We've got to get you in some rom-coms. Like, can we have a call with your agent and be like, listen, I need just like two or three rom-coms as the best friend.
Adam and Katy Perry.
What's up, dude?
That's I'm working on it, man. I know.
Rom-com game. You get Nancy Myers. You go shoot in Santa Barbara.
I know, dude.
A nice kitchen.
I love Nancy
Myers. You got the sweater on right now.
I can play
internationally. You can be dubbed over in German with
that
sweater on right
love
now.
Love to be dubbed over in German.
and that's coming from a Jew.
What is it about New York, do you think, that does just, not only for the NBA players that go there that are a little... unaware of the hype of it, but like for A-Rod, when he went there, he knew what he was getting into, but some guys don't, right? But what is it about the city that is just can be overwhelming?
It's like, what time is the game over at the Garden? 10:15?
Sure.
Shower, you talk to the media a little bit, say what up to Swizz Beatz, all right, how you doing? Nice to see you and the kids, say hello, and then guess what?
You walk outside.
It's 11 o'clock, where do you want to go? You want to go out, you want dinner, you want to go to Saturday Live after party, you want to go whatever you want.
Yeah.
It's right there. So
versus any other city where it's
right. Hey, Milwaukee, you finish up, you say goodbye to Vic the Brick who's in town. LA staple now, but maybe he's from the Midwest. There's nothing to do.
Yeah. So whereas New York, just whatever concert is in town, you can either go see that, maybe catch the after party, totally. It's just So it's that whole world being
European women
opened up. Yeah,
it's European women. You know what I mean? Dude, they're everywhere in New York. There's no European women out here.
I was just at Gotham this past week. We're came last time. Yeah. And Seinfeld popped in on my last show of the weekend to do 40. It's like those things are possible out there. I mean, LA too.
I don't know if the reason why the New York Knicks basketball team has not had success in recent years because the guys are going out.
It's a direct
pop up
correlation.
Seinfeld sets.
It's a direct.
J.R. Smith shot 34% on Sundays
because he saw Jim Gaffigan.
He just loves sketch comedy.
Right. He was out there.
How much advice did you get from MTV or Such and Pac when you were doing that shit?
Well, I learned from that experience is to write your own questions. And if you're going to do that interview game and sit with actors, and you can collaborate with your producers and your bosses, but don't let somebody write on a piece of paper crazy shit for you to say.
Like, well, because then it's not in your voice.
It's not in your voice, and there's always, and that's where I learned the, do it your way and do one ours, you know, do it our way, and we'll see which one we use after the thing. All right, you're going to use yours. You know what I mean? So I think it's important. That experience helped me take a little bit of ownership of my voice and, you know, as I moved out here. So, I don't know. She was dope, though, because she got it. She understood the game, and I saw her years later. She transitioned to do fashion stuff, so she'd be around E, and she was super cool. Like, the way she, treats the crew and all those people, like, some of those people in that hustle and that entertainment news world don't behave that way, but you're a real person.
If you look at, like, we briefly touched on who was working at, like, MTV News back in that time, it was legitimate journalists, like people being journalists, not like, hey, let's do 9,000 replays of Snooki getting punched in the face and laugh at it.
So true. I had a friend and he dated Serena Alcho for a while, so we would hang out with her, and you'd go to dinner, and she'd be like, "Oh yeah, that reminds me of this time I was in Kosovo," and you're just like, "Oh yeah, so you please pass the." Da, da, da. We're like, "What? Oh yeah, you're not just like a entertainment news puppet. Like you're like, oh, you jumped out of airplanes and went underground and trafficking and all this like real shit, you know? Tabitha Soren, like
they did real stuff.
Those like guns ones with those kids. I mean, there's some kid in a Florida Marlins baseball hat in like Wichita with a machine gun, and it was like, whoa." This shit is loose.
Yeah.
It was killer.
Yeah, I remember them doing stuff on the Blood and the Crypt gang wars that were just like no one else was covering that.
See, I wish I was born 10 years sooner and I could have been Simon Rex at the MTV Beach House. Come on. That would be sick. Guns in Wichita. But
it goes,
what?
It goes Pauly Shore.
Real World 5 Hawaii. And we got DJ Scribble here in Vogue stopping by. Like, let's do this.
Yeah. I mean, dude, I think.
Get a Mellow Yellow and just like rock out.
That has to be. That MTV Spring Break experience has to be on, if you came up when that happened, like on everyone's, like
that's what everyone wanted to do.
Jump in a time machine and do one, visit a piece of history. Like some people are like, I'd love to go to the dinosaur age, or when, you know, McEnroe won his first Wimbledon, or hang out with
that's the jump you made
at Spring Break.
Daytona Beach, Tone Loc, 1991, Ed Lover.
Yes,
Ayo is Tone Loc, man.
Tone Loc, by the way, acting career after Ace Ventura, totally fell off.
Should've been a bummer.
Obviously, probably did some voiceovers on a million like kids things, but like Tone Loc should be.
He should have had happen what happened with Craig Robinson and. Knocked Up, you know what I'm saying, where it was like
play the bouncer,
yeah, and dude. And so I feel like on, so E was after MTV,
well, I do want to touch on something briefly, because you've done
some,
like,
really listening to the Ben Lyons career deep dive.
Well, this part of it, because after MTV, you I think you went to another job that Adam and I would consider a dream job, and you got to host the revival of Guts.
Crag every day, man.
Oh my! Please tell me they gave you a piece of it.
I got a piece of the crag.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Why didn't you bring it?
That show was a piece. That show was so dope, man. Because I got there the first day and I was like, "Where's the prompter?" And they're like, "There's no prompter." I was like, "Wait, what? I have to like
improvise.
Do all this aggro crag language or all this play by play? Oh, the kids flying across the stadium spectrum, just like running around Nickelodeon crazy, and that was a beast of a show, but it was so much fun.
So fun, right?
Oh my god, Nickelodeon is the best. Like kids
and
stuff.
And then, like, did you get to try out any of the sports stuff? Like,
they put you on the bungee cord and you dunked the basket and stuff. And you
probably even better than it was in the 90s.
It was like more extreme.
Yeah,
it was like more slime, and it was like it's more aerial assaults. And the one day that was nuts, I was at Universal in Orlando, which for 3 weeks in August is, you know,
it's tough. Don't go outside.
Right?
Don't go outside.
So, but we did some big race through like a Toontown or something, you know, mm-hmm. and the kids are on Segways and running around, and I'm doing like play by play of the race, and I just look at the monitor where there's Video Village and everyone's standing around watching, and I just see Mark Summers like standing there chilling, and I'm like, oh shit, Mark Summers is watching me call some zany wow. obstacle race thing, you know?
Right. What he does.
That dude was so awesome and so yeah. cool.
We've had him here on the podcast.
He's told great. A great story about why he got... You've had him on the podcast?
Yeah.
Like, dude, foodie now. And
dude, he was a comic,
stuff.
But his stories of starting at the Comedy Store are mind-blowing.
So dope. Yeah. And he said the reason he got Double Dare back in the day was because it came down to like him and one other dude, and they'd done 6 or 7 reads, and they'd gone in a bunch of times. And without being prompted, he finished a segment and was like, stay tuned for more Double Dare right here on Nickelodeon. Like, that's the only thing he did different, just because it felt like the natural yeah. beat mm-hmm. that the thing needed. And he said that's why he got
is that
the show.
Crazy?
Just he's one, convinced.
Just one little thing.
Well, because improv, you show you know where your surroundings.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cool technical host shit that you learn as you pick up, as yeah. you go on and take on different jobs and stuff. And that Nickelodeon one definitely helped me do radio live.
No shit.
Do Oscars live. Like, you're in Orlando in some soundstage with 2,000 tourists who've been waiting online
screaming
all day.
Screaming kids, yeah.
Screaming kids and families who are maybe a little camera shy. And maybe if Johnny messes up the slalom slide, it's going to be a very uncomfortable night at the Hilton Garden Inn pool. You know what I mean?
Also, this is the greatest
dramatic stuff right there.
This is one of the greatest like things that's happening to this family and this kid.
Oh my God.
To be on the show,
what?
To be on TV, to like...
It's huge.
Every kid wanted to be on Guts.
You know, it was really cool, man. I wish we got to do more. We did 25 of them, and then it just...
Yeah, and I'm glad you talked about like the skills you pick up as a host, because like people talk about actors and comedians and improvisers, but hosting is its own skill that I think people look over way too often. And you can tell when you have someone who is a good host versus someone that is just famous that they give a microphone to, and like, yeah, you're like, whenever they had like one of the Kardashians host the red carpet, I know you can't talk bad about them because you used to work at E, so it's like this sacred
what
thing.
What possibly could you say bad about them?
Yeah,
dude, yeah. Those sweet angels. What do you mean?
Yeah.
Who kept the lights on.
Yeah, right?
Who paid for Seacrest sushi.
Yeah. Every night. So like when you have her, when you have Courtney do, like, or she's hosting the red carpet versus an actual host, like...
Well, here's the thing, even with those girls, like, mm-hmm. they've been at it for so long now that like Courtney's now hosted like 25 red carpets, so she's actually done some hosting stuff. Like, I get your point, but there yeah. are times when you'll be on these jobs and they'll be like, we're so excited, like, you'll do the stage, and then you'll have like in the audience you'll have this YouTube star, and you're just like, yo, she puts makeup on her face, I don't know if she can hold a microphone and like send yeah. it to commercial and have an IFB. And not to say it's manual labor, but there are things that you do as a professional yeah. that you would like to see translate and come through.
Yep.
But yeah, sometimes it's fun though with somebody who isn't, you know, constricted by some of those
sure.
limitations, who just lets rip and goes nuts.
Well, because like in my first deal with hosting was I got to host a Red Bull Flugtag one time, and it's a live event. That's where the people go off the docks and the homemade flying machines and they crash
where
in the water.
At?
San Francisco. And so you talk about having the IFB in your ear. For those who don't know, there's a small radio thing that goes in your ear that a producer can tell you, okay, you're gonna toss to this guy, you talk for 15 more seconds.
It's like a Secret Service thing
yeah,
in your ear.
But they're talking to you as you're talking, and you can't stop and be like, what was that? Like, you can't. You
oh,
just,
some people can.
Oh.
Yeah, no, it happens. Sure,
yeah.
Sure.
But, like, it was just the weirdest experience because I would be talking to a microphone that was on about a 5-second delay over loudspeakers over this field. So I'm hearing myself talk what I said 5 seconds earlier, and I'm thinking about what I'm going to say next. And I got the producer in my ear going, okay, you're going to throw to Callie in 20 seconds. Okay, well, she's not ready yet. 10 more seconds. Like, and
it's a lot.
Saying that, and it's a hard thing to do.
But that's where television is a team sport, right? And a lot of hosts make the mistake because they're the one on camera driving the story that it's about them. But what your director could be like, all right, so we're going to throw in about 20 seconds over mm-hmm. to the main stage. Or you just have a director who's like, 20 to the main stage, and it's just in and out. And if
yeah.
you have a chatty Cathy on there and you're rambling, and then it's a bad director and it's a bad product, like,
yeah.
that's what you. running around in the hip hop days for me, like doing all that video production work and stuff, I learned about editing and how to hold the camera and location and lighting. And so then you really realize TV is a team sport. I mean, how many people were on that Red Bull crew?
Yeah,
sound guys, gaffers, stage managers. Stage managers are the shit. Like those dudes who've been around for, I've been here 30 years.
Yeah, yeah.
The guy who's the stage manager at Extra says he was a bullpen catcher for the Mets in the 60s.
Which guy? I'm doing it tomorrow.
Reggie.
Oh,
He did Soul Train for many years as a stage manager. And Kristen Stewart's dad is a big stage manager. He often
John Stewart.
He does At Midnight. Yeah, he does that At Midnight.
I know him very well.
Spike Ferrison show, and he did...
By the way, John Stewart, not Daily Show John Stewart. Kristen Stewart's dad is actually named John Stewart.
Who's a boss.
Yeah, he's great.
He does like Robin Roberts stage at the Oscars. Tom from The Soup is like a... Wow. You know, been doing it since like the beginning of E. Like, so I love learning about those crew dudes and finding out their weird history and stuff.
The E job that comes from how do you get do you like run its course at MTV or are you like I mean
I signed a 6-month deal at MTV. They used me once and the show just disappeared, so I was like itching to get at it. I did some stuff on MSNBC and NBC with my dad, and then I had a general meeting at E, and I remember going in like kicking and screaming to my agent being like, nah, this is corny, man. Yeah. Like, I don't do this. I don't do gossip. I do hip hop. You know what I mean?
I'm street.
Yeah. So and then it just started where I found a show called The Daily 10 where I got to talk film each week. My boss was this super cool dude named Bob Lifton who did the Best Damn Sports Show on
Come on,
FX for years.
Dude,
you know?
One of the greatest shows of all time.
Fox Sports or whatever. So yeah, he got it. So we were both these dudes, and with Sal Masekela from the X Games is he's like the main host.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like these three dudes who love sports and hip hop and music and stuff. And we get to, we talk a little gossip and celebrity. But I was 25 and on TV around the world and got to interview every single movie star on the planet. Like, it was awesome. And it really just put me in this lane of film coverage and just being in that world and covering those festivals that I've now kind of continued to do in my career. But yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, you crushed that. And I feel like it's so funny to even like, I mean, I was, you know, somewhat even starstruck when you had me on your sports show during the Super Bowl, because I was like, man, I've been watching this motherfucker for years.
You know, this dude I just did the Oscars with, this guy, Troy, who's on the Goldbergs. Troy Gentile.
Yeah, yeah. Gentile, yeah.
That dude. He's like, yo, man, I'm just so honored to be here at the Oscars, man. Like, I grew up watching you cover the Oscars. And I'm like, oh, shit. He's 22 years old.
Yeah.
I'm 35 and doing this 12 years.
Yeah.
He might be right. Like, that hit me hard.
Yeah, yeah.
That was wild.
I feel like you, watching you on that show, I felt like Ben Lyons found who he, like, your voice, I feel like you had. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
they let me be me, and that's totally to your point about hosting and, like, you know, the skill of it is just finding your voice and seeing what you're comfortable with. Like, if I sat with Gwyneth Paltrow and talked about her Tracy Anderson arm workouts because that's what my boss wanted, am I comfortable with that? No. But I find a way to make it my own, and you find a way and an angle and an in to get closer to your voice like that. And you understand the medium. It's like, I remember I would get there and I'd be like, I'm covering the Hollywood Land Junket. Remember that movie with Ben Affleck?
Oh, yeah, like right,
Superman,
right.
And Agent Brody. And
got murdered
and
all that
shit. They got Bob Hoskins in the junket. Like, mm-hmm. I'm staying up all night. I'm doing my Hoskins homework. I'm like reading all these articles and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm getting in there. I'm doing a kick-ass 10 minutes with Bob Hoskins. Like, when the fuck is that airing on the E channel? Like, never.
Probably not, man. Never. He's not a top storyline.
So it's Ben Affleck's workout routine, and if he's talking to Jen and that, that, that. So it's like you learn how to make it your own. But I would just take those Hoskins moments moving forward. I figured that out early and was like, okay, if this is never going to air, then I'm just going to do this for me and have an awesome experience.
Do they still let you take that tape?
Oh, yeah. So you leave an Iron Man junket with 70 minutes of content that you're going to shoot for 2.5 minutes on the show, maybe. So yeah, I'd be like, sit with Sam Rockwell. You're like, this is not gonna air. This is not gonna see a lot of day.
He's just the shit. He's one of my favorite actors.
Yeah, Sam Rockwell's awesome. I like to see him direct more.
Fuck,
I know he was directing a little bit, but I like Sam Rockwell.
But like
Sam, he's due for an Oscar nomination. Like, everybody
100%, dude.
You know what I mean? Should have, like, oh yeah, because he's been killing it for years in one of those kind
dude,
of you've arrived, but you've been here forever.
Yeah, dude, Confessions of a Dangerous Mind, I feel like he could have
killer.
I mean,
and then how, like,
well, I want to ask real quick.
Oh, yeah,
like,
sure.
So in stand up, like, it takes us, like, people say, you know, 10 years to start to find your voice. Maybe even less, like 5-6 years to start to go, like, okay, cool. Like, I'm sure Brad and I can both attest. Like, you start to go, oh, cool. I think I'm figuring out who I am on stage and then really honing it. But, like, does that translate into hosting where it's like a certain amount of gigs or
yeah, absolutely. I think it's when you switch teams, when you play on somebody else's field, if that makes sense. So you work at E, you learn their language, you learn their crew, you get in their rhythm, and then oh, you go somewhere else, and then you're like, okay, how do I continue?
What's the ESPN.
Constant? Go to ESPN. I go to Yahoo. I go to Extra. You get hired by other places. So it's like, what's the constant at all those places? It's cameras, lights, sound guy, crew guy. It's you. It's your voice, you know? So how do you bring that with you to each new place? And I think you have to get, I mean, it worked for me where I got knocked down a little bit, you know? So doing At the Movies, the Roger Ebert, the Cisco and Ebert show, that we did it for a year. A lot of people didn't like it. That helped me kind of go back to the basics and find my voice and be like, all right, you know what? I can still be here and stand here. And I think that definitely helped me get closer to what it is you're talking about.
Do you think people didn't like it because it was called the same thing and it just wasn't Roger Ebert?
You know, it's tough. There's a lot of reasons looking back on it why I think it didn't work. But, you know, maybe a big one was that, like, I was out in Vegas every week. You know what I mean? I'm out the Hard Rock for the E! Channel, and I'm doing all these things. I'm doing Nickelodeon Guts and talking Danish documentaries. So it's like, it makes sense to me. And if you know me, then it does. But
in that format,
you know, really well produced, the whole thing. So
yeah, because, I mean, in doing research for this podcast, I mean, I hope this isn't a bummer for you, but there's a little bit of anti-Ben Lyons people out there.
LA Times, 4-page story, downfall of American media.
What?
That's a lot for like a 27-year-old dude to handle, right? So I just remember finding out on the ticker of CNN that our contracts weren't going to be renewed for At the Movies, that we were sitting in our boss's office waiting to find out. We shot the last episode, and I was super bummed. You see the ticker, the changes at the Movies, and then I remember the next day I hosted a short film festival award show at the DGA and did an interview with Demi Moore about a short she directed. And we're in a room and, you know, a couple hundred people or whatever. And I was like, oh, this is dope. Like, they take away the show from me, but like, I'm still going to be in this world.
Yeah, you're still going to do a job.
And that's to your point, was like, yo, like, you got to find your voice and find your path. And was that probably the best format for me at the time? Was I a good fit to take over like this academic, serious film criticism show? Like, probably not in the time looking back, but I'm glad I did it because it exposed me to all these different films and experiences that I wouldn't have had. I was on the board. I was on the judge for AFI in the foreign films category and got to do all this kind of shit that I personally think is super awesome and love doing. So
what is one of the craziest experiences you got to go through being at E? Like, what was one, like, that you got to either cover or go to or meet, or just like,
I mean, I went to Israel with Rihanna. Dubai with Tom Cruise. You know, I was on set of Superbad. I'm in the background. That's when I first met Emma Stone, and I was in House Bunny with her in the background. You know, I used to pop in those. They would do these set visits where you just like hang out on set and they throw you in the movie. So I did that in Ireland on the movie Your Highness.
Yeah,
you were in a James Franco movie.
Entourage too, right?
Entourage. I did a scene on the car. I don't know. Just there were so many weird, funny, celebrity driven adventures that I don't know. I met Donald Trump at Peep Show in Vegas.
What?
With Lohan. You know,
Trump and Lohan are together.
Yeah, I met the president of the United States at Peep Show
with Lohan and Scary Spice. You know, it's just like weird shit. It was a great time in my life.
Did you exchange many words with Trump?
I grew up with his daughter Ivanka. I knew when I was a kid growing up. Yeah, she was really? She went to a similar private school in New York, so I knew her as a kid. And she would come. She did a shoot with me on the Daily 10 where we hit golf balls at the Trump course and stuff. And
God.
By the way, that Scarlett Johansson skit was pretty money this weekend.
Yeah,
that was pretty good.
Yeah,
that was really good.
And that's coming.
I feel rather complicit knowing her.
Yeah, for sure.
Where's my men's deodorant? It's complicit coming. Over here from playing spin the bottle with her as a kid, you know?
Would you ever want, does SNL, quick tangent, would that ever be something you would be like, oh, I would want to be the first?
No,
like,
my goal on SNL, and I've always wanted to do this, is just to be in a skit in any capacity. Sitting in the background when they're like in a classroom scene.
No shit.
And they're just like, I don't even have a line. I just want to sit in the skit in the background. I just want to be in the screen for something. That's all I want.
I don't
want
to.
That's all I want.
I want to make sure we didn't gloss over a little detail that I heard you say. Did you really play spin the bottle with Ivanka Trump?
Yeah. Yeah, growing up, that was our like that was growing up in New York City. Weird experiences.
Dude, you hear that, kids? Yeah, start small. Spin the bottle. Doesn't have to lead to anal immediately.
It's a slow burn.
We didn't have porn back there. Spin could the you, bottle was like the...
Could you call her right now? Not on air, but...
I mean, yeah.
If you did, like, crazy. if you sent her a text, she would more than likely respond.
Remember
more
the spin the bottle
I would think no at this point.
Right.
I would crazy. Like to think she's a little... busier than to return my call.
Sure.
Right now.
Yeah.
One would think.
Because, like, do you ever watch the news and see things going on and being like, I wonder what...
I'm actually real talk confused by her a little bit right now. Mm-hmm. Because I do know her on some level from childhood. And,
yeah.
And we have a lot of mutual friends still. And I feel like she is a, I don't know, like, human being.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, do you feel she's being represented fairly in the media?
I'm sure she's in a tough position. And mm-hmm. I mean... I would like to see her a little bit more outspoken at some of the things that are going on with her family, but that's a hard thing to ask of someone.
I know, right?
I mean,
behind the scenes, yeah. I'd like to think she's having conversations and being a bridge and extending a hand, but I don't really know. And I feel like, I don't know, there's so much going on. So to put it all on her shoulders, that's not fair.
But the crazy part is, and maybe you can back this up because you have some history, is I've heard a lot of people saying if anyone in that Trump family could be president, it would be Ivanka.
No, she's amazing. Like, honestly, from the time we were in our 20s and her going to, you know, business school and starting companies and working and doing her thing, like, she was so impressive and so professional and so, like, the real deal mm-hmm. at that time after college, like, in her life, that I understand why people are saying she's the more accomplished or thoughtful or progressive or worldly in some way. I totally see that.
Interesting.
So I don't know, man. It's good for you guys, huh? It's good for stand up.
Oh, it's
that's the positive for you guys, dude, right? Good, and like every night in the clubs, is it Trump jokes?
Yeah, but like, how great is that to see somebody doing the like similar? I mean, look, again, you want to take pride in the fact that, you know, your voice can have a different effect on the material, but. It also can run its course, and it's like, you know, I have a chunk of stuff that I do in an hour set, and not like, and I try to be very mindful of like not doing more than that. And even when I see him around town, like a part of me cringes and goes, like enough. So even, but at the same time, I feel like we do have a responsibility to, like, the same way that all the late night shows are, really, you know, be informed and try to use that to make jokes about, so that, because a lot of people are using comedy, I think, still for an escape. But at the same time, like, if you can shed some light on something through comedy, like people sometimes it resonates with a little bit more clarity when they hear it and are able to laugh because their guard's down a little bit more, you know?
Something really has me fucked up about all of it, and it's the fact that these people aren't going out and voting. Like, you saw Phil Jackson in the article said he didn't vote since 1980.
Yeah. Yeah.
We see, you know, Nick Saban at Alabama. Like, I didn't even know the election was happening. I was, like, planning for...
There's a LSU. Lot more of that than we even realize.
So, I don't know. You see what Rock the Vote is doing, which is a brand we grew up with.
Yep,
and they're getting young people to go out there and register to vote and making it so easy.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to find ways.
WWE Smackdown your vote. Shout out to Vince McMahon.
You see, so much voting for, I mean, God, every day we're voting in people's Twitter feeds and polls, or you're voting in a silly, like.
You know, you'll be sure to vote for American Idol to have your favorite person in there, but...
And Colin Kaepernick not voting lost a lot with me and his whole crusade and what he's standing for and what he's trying to do and get across. If he just didn't go out and vote, it's like, come on, dude.
Now that,
it's like such a basic
thing
that I think people can rally around from both sides of the aisle. It's like,
just vote.
That's the reason why Trump and that whole side won, is because all those people did go out and vote.
Yeah.
So that's something I'd like, you know, when you talk to Ivanka or somebody like that, it's like, maybe they can get involved with getting young people more plugged in.
And you touched on the Colin Kaepernick thing, because I mean, you're a sports reporter, but sports is entertainment. When an athlete starts getting political, when there is an instance like that, is that something you get excited to talk about?
Absolutely. I think it's fantastic. I think their words hold real weight in today's sports media landscape. I think it's been going on since the beginning of organized sports.
Sure, whether it be Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and all that he went through, and then you go through the years. There's always like there's like a couple voices in every generation. Muhammad Ali.
You got to be informed. It's like Hollywood too. It's like, you know, some of these actors that you get to work with or you interview, they're some of the most worldly, well, you know, well educated, informed, compassionate people, artistic, creative, forward thinking people. So like, absolutely, they should come out. Like, Charlize Theron should be out there speaking about issues affecting Africa. Like, she knows what's up. Like,
yeah, right.
You know what I mean? So, as long as you're informed and coming from a good place with it, especially with athletes, I'm all for it. I think you trip up when you're Colin Kaepernick and you don't go out there and vote. And you wear Castro t-shirts, not really knowing entirely what
in Miami
or in Miami and what those emotions mean to that community and what you're trying to say with that, you know. So I think it's been really cool the last couple of years seeing Melo and all these dudes step up and talk about stuff.
Because in the argument you hear a lot is like, oh, stick to movies, stick to sports. For us, we hear stick to comedy. But my comeback for that is like, well, then so that does that mean plumbers aren't allowed to talk about it? Like stick to plumbing, or like, you know, if you're a lawyer,
the old plumber defense makes sense.
You know, like
I'm tested.
Yeah, it's like, well, then who is allowed to talk about it?
Plumber can't weigh in on immigration.
Yeah, and it's like y'all can, and if you have that platform to put it out there, and Kaepernick, whether you agree or disagree with him, he moved the needle. Like he got a discussion going, and
he backed it up financially. You know, he donated $1 million himself to, you know, and I think you're absolutely right, but you know, these dudes, they just got to know what they're talking about. You know? And anyone who has a platform, you know, you have to be passionate about what it is you're talking about, not just say shit to rile people up.
Do you think it's crazy at the Oscars? And you covered them this year, right?
I did, for the Oscars, for the Academy.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Oscar.com.
Huge deal.
It was awesome.
So, live streaming it.
Live, 7 hours.
I watched a good show. My cable was all fucked up, and I just flown back that day, so I was watching a lot of it on the live stream.
Really?
Yeah, it was dope, dude. I mean,
it's such a trip. It's such a like, everybody's energy's on. It's like,
your guts experience, I'm sure, came into play there.
1,000%, man. If you can climb the aggro crag, you can walk the red carpet.
Hashtag, dude, that's a fun. Make that a t-shirt with your face on it. Please do. That seems like the most intense of the live things, because there is so many things, and they probably, anytime they can, if Sean Penn pops up and like, we can get him for 20 seconds, you got to send it away. Like, you have to stop what you're doing respectfully. You could be talking to fucking...
Excuse me, Greek filmmaker who had made a passionate short film about immigration. Yes. Let me talk to Pharrell.
Dude, real quick. Right?
What's up with your hat?
But that's the fun of it, though, is trying to make... I always equate it, and back to the hosting stuff, so I always equate it to a 1950s game show that has a dollar bill game where you're in a phone booth and they're like, grab as many as you can in 30 seconds. Like, you're not going to get everybody out there, but hopefully you get enough cool people to stop and have somewhat of an intelligent conversation amidst like a very unnatural, uncomfortable place with people screaming, and you're in Hollywood Boulevard, and everyone's got shark eyes looking for somebody else is more important. It's just a wild...
Is it as uncomfortable as it seems?
It's completely. Then that's why you see a lot of tight, nervous moments happen over the years there, because everyone's on edge. Everyone's so well documented. It's a rush. The closest thing I can imagine to playing in a big sporting event or a Super Bowl. You're out there and it's just like, woof, you can feel the energy for it, which makes it pretty cool.
But were you in the showroom for the show?
We were in the winner's room. So they win their Oscar. They go to a little camera we have set up on the side of the stage. They thank anybody they forgot. They go backstage. They, you know, take a breath. They get their fancy photo taken and like a professional. And then they go to the press room where it's all the reporters being like, Emma.
And we're sitting right there,
just kind of playing traffic cop to the 20 cameras we have all over the theater.
But you are watching the show.
We're watching the show. We're commenting on the show. We're looking in the audience for reactions. It's like a sporting event.
Yeah.
We just saw that Bryan Cranston lost for best actor, but he was really excited for this guy. So take a look at his reaction. Let's go. I had a telestrator. You know what I mean?
Like, you're doing like the John Madden thing.
We got stats and info.
You're kind of the perfect guy for that gig.
It was me. It was me and Adnan Virk from ESPN. It was his first Oscar, so he was all gassed. And I found out about him really through his podcast Cinephile, which is a good listen. So,
what was it like seeing that
meeting Adnan? It was amazing. It's like, wow, you could talk about Mike Sweeney and Fellini.
Dude,
this
that's
is dope. Incredible. Sweeney to
Sweeney
Fellini.
And Fellini. Yeah. Yeah, dude. Not a lot of people that should go
be,
that far.
That should be a radio team. But like, yeah, when the ending happened, where were you for that?
I mean, you can look at the tape. I'm deer in headlights because I just felt bummed, man, because it's such a pageantry. There's so much work that goes into it. There's so many people on site. Security, the people rolling the carpet, building the stages, everybody. So many people like miserable in headsets just working.
Yeah.
And it's just like, ah.
The end. The last thing.
And for a minute and a half, I'm like, this dude Chazelle thought he won the Oscar for a film he'd been working on for 10 years, his best picture. And everyone's like, well, he won best director. I'm like, no, it's a totally different
deal. It is, dude, right?
Like, I can't imagine what the equivalent of that is. You know, because it's the only thing I could be used like to pull to sports and be like, you give the championship to someone, they're on the microphone, they have a speech, and then right there
after further
Roger
review,
Goodell goes like, actually the guy stepped out of bounds, so
the ball crossed the pylon,
yeah, and
Falcons are actually champions. Yeah. Pick up the Patriots confetti, please.
Yeah. Right.
Can we do that too?
It's crazy, right?
Yeah, like that.
And I feel so bad for the cast of Moonlight because it's always going to be talked about, and it's just like a bummer. But at the end of the day, it's really not that interesting a story.
For
that,
sure. Now,
that's what's crazy. Is in the moment, you're like, what's happening? What's going on? What's the deal?
It was so confusing.
And he's like, oh, they gave the guy the wrong envelope, and you didn't know because it's what?
Now, as a host, how do you feel Kimmel handled it?
I thought he did a good job. It's really, you know, it's one of those things you plan like to a T. Like, at 8:06, Warren Beatty's going to open the envelope. And 8:07, he's going to announce it. And 8:08, he's going to give it to. It's like, I don't know. After that,
flying by the seat of your pants.
Like, just
you try to make
went
a joke.
Off the rails.
And, yeah.
And, you know, still a great night. In the words of Steve Harvey, right? Still a great night.
Is that what he said?
That's what I said, too. It's just like, still a great night. You know, it's fun.
How are those after parties? I've only heard stories.
It usually ends at In-N-Out with a tuxedo and a cheeseburger at 1 o'clock.
It's like prom.
You know, it is kind of like prom. There is the king and queen. Casey Affleck walks in with his giant scepter of an Oscar. You know?
You walk in with it, I guess, right?
Yeah. Oh, everybody, like, you pass it around,
got
photos
to.
And all that stuff.
And now, I do want to also tell all our listeners to head over to the Players Tribune.
Yeah.
And that's Derek Jeter's website, and which I really enjoy what Derek's doing with that. In terms of, he's sort of taking out the middleman and now saying, you know what, players, now you are completely in charge of your message. And now,
back to your question before, if guys want to speak out about things they're passionate about, and now having a platform and the tools to do that, and you're able, it's a global audience now, you know?
Right.
If you're an NBA fan and you watch ESPN, yeah, you'll get some cool NBA insight, but you're probably not going to get a really insightful deep dive with Chris Middleton from the Bucks. Like, you're probably not going to hear him talk much. Yeah. It's not going to be a profile piece on him.
Yeah.
Well, so this gives a platform for those kind of second tier dudes to appreciate
and
themselves to fans.
As much as people complain about athletes giving all the stock answers, it is what it is, one game at a time. Like,
it's
you're
a similarity
doing,
in a lot of your impressions.
Yeah, like
a deep bass in your voice.
What was that, like a Matumbo? It is what it is. But like you're given like a 35-second sideline interview. That's about all you can cover during that time. Like,
you hit that shot. It was so crazy.
How did it feel? Yeah.
What was going through your mind when coach drew up the play? Not like, hey, tell us what you think about voting registration laws. And, you know,
that would be insane if right after a guy hits a game-winning shot, he gets like
what's
a
like to hit
question about politics.
Shot? How come you think there was such low turnout in the red states? What?
That would be something.
You know.
But you are doing work for them. And the thing is, real fan life. And real fan life, you get to, like, it's like from the outside, it looks just like a fantasy camp. Like, it looks like you're just hanging out with these athletes and, like, you're bowling with Paul Pierce and Dwight Howard showing you his snake collection. That's not a euphemism for anything else.
Massive snake collection.
Yeah, massive black snake.
Big snake
right.
collection.
Right. Yeah, just, yeah.
Need blocking two, shots need two, constantly.
Need two hands to go around some of them. But yeah, like, you're going and hanging out with these athletes and doing what essentially they... You saw somebody's car collection, too?
LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yeah, LaMarcus Aldridge's car collection.
But now when I hear the unfortunate news about LaMarcus this week with the heart arrhythmia, and he's going to be out indefinitely for a little bit. You didn't hear about that?
No.
Oh, yeah. LaMarcus Aldridge the other day, they just announced that.
Is that why he's been out?
He's going to be down. He's got some health stuff.
Oh,
so,
God.
I now obviously look at that and react to it differently because I have a relationship with LaMarcus now.
Right.
From just getting to know him and seeing him in that piece, if anyone else watched that, I would like to think they'd be like, oh, man, I have a closer connection to that athlete now. They're not just a name in my DraftKings on my team that when LaMarcus leaves San Antonio, they're going to boo him because he's on Oklahoma
right, or whatever.
And he went through that. He talked a lot about that in our time together. So I think that's the point of it, is to show guys away from the court, away from the locker room. I'm not a former player. I'm a fan. Yeah. So that's the only kind of, you know, way that I can approach it, I guess.
For somebody that also does, like, you do get to spend so much time, like, off camera with some of these people, and some more time than others, like, those pieces obviously are more conducive to getting to know somebody when you have that much time. But, like, it is, so many people don't know. They look at these athletes or actors or whoever that you're spending time with, and just, they're up on these pedestals. You don't even almost look at them as people and know that there's this other side that you get to try to bring out and make them relatable and be like, yo, man, this guy likes the shit you like. Like, yeah, you're actually... And,
but also, think about trades. How often have you moved in your life?
Yeah.
I understand there's a whole organization there that helps them transition.
Yeah. Right.
And there's Google Maps now, so when you move to Oklahoma, you can find stuff. I get it. But just in the, if someone said to you tomorrow, hey, buddy, we just need you to move to St. Louis, you're going to be like, okay, what? Like, that's an old... Yeah. And I've talked to a lot of dudes about that, especially guys who are getting traded are usually kind of mid-level guys, you know, so they have money, but they're a little older, they got families, you know, it's like... There's a lot going on with that. So it's cool, and I think the Players Tribune does an amazing job of connecting you with the players in a way that when you watch them, you're like, oh, I'm going to look at the game a little differently that he's in it.
Yeah.
You know?
Are you able to put your fandom aside, or is it difficult when you're objectively covering the Knicks or
There's nothing
whoever.
To objectively cover. Yeah. I think we all are agreement on how
Porzingis
that
went on the teacups.
Porzingis is so pure, huh?
Dude, he's
just like,
he's one of my favorite players to watch.
Yep. Beautiful, like alkaline water that's just like got the
he's
most
a smoother
nutrients,
young Dirk. Yeah.
The most minerals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's just pure. He's beautiful, man. He's he's angelic.
Yeah, you guys looked out on that one.
Just you look at him and you're just, oh, I had to like sit on my hand not to just like casually touch his face in the interview. It's amazing.
So pretty. Is he smooth? Is he charismatic?
Ah, he is. It's so amazing to see someone, considering where he's from, his the way he's able to just kind of be comfortable in his own skin. Most guys that size are kind of goofy and a little weird, and he's just the best, man.
That's great.
I just wish he could, you know, post up Drew Holiday when they're on the road in New Orleans, but, you know, we'll get there. We'll get there.
So, I mean, so your fandom still, like, comes in when you're reporting on sports?
Yeah, you're always going to be a fan, and luckily, you know, my teams haven't been good enough where I have to, like, really, my NBA playoffs are wide open.
Right.
You know? You
could be completely ejected.
You know, I've been getting into these Utah Jazz. Ooh, my wife's from Utah.
Yeah.
So I use that as an excuse to watch more games. You know, I'm like, oh, honey, it's the Jazz. Like, I'm going to watch it. She's like, I don't give a shit. Like, I don't care what team it is.
God.
So I'm like, let's go Jazz. They just added Joe Johnson, Georgetown, Boris Diaw.
Yeah.
Boris Diaw loves coffee. He has a passion for espresso. He built an espresso machine in the Jazz locker room and started a club where he goes to different NBA cities finding the best beans and stuff. It's
awesome. My God. It's also cool to adapt like a second team that you love.
That has no history or rivalry with your favorite team.
Yeah, right.
It's great.
So you're not feeling like a traitor. You're like, oh, this is just something else.
You know, you're a big diehard Seahawks fan. This guy loves the Seahawks. If, hey, you know what? Jets are your second team. You date a girl from Long Island. Why not?
Yeah, it's fun.
Pete Carroll was a coach there once, too.
Sure. Mind connections.
So what?
Yeah,
rivalry. It doesn't matter at all. They don't play each other.
We just did a live podcast in Utah at the Wise Guys Comedy Club. I don't know if she...
I saw you, doing something about that.
Well, so a buddy of mine's grew up with my buddy of mine's best friend from growing up is Larry Miller's son. So he was like, do you guys want to go shoot hoops at the Vivint Center? But then Disney on Ice was there. He's like, well, we can go to the practice facility. So we went there for like 2-3 hours, fucking had some drinks, shot around, like
Zion's Bank. Was that what it was called? The Zion's Bank?
It's the Vivint Arena.
That's the arena.
The practice facility. Practice facility. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, you're right. Wow. Good. Yeah.
Told you, man. I'm
good
on these pole. Jazz, bro.
Dude.
It, man. On the side of the highway there. Zion's Bank.
Do you ball at all?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My game's getting further away from the basket the older I get, though.
It has to.
I sound like I was saying, literally every game could be my last.
Just wait for the
next one. You probably have played in some pretty cool, like, celeb games then.
I played in a bunch. The craziest one I ever played in, and I don't know how I swung it, but I played in the BET Summer Classic.
That just sounds like it was the best.
It was so dope.
Token Snoop, white boy.
Paul, are you? I'm a shooter. What do you mean? I'm a shooter, dude. The guy I host with, Tony Rock, our show, The Warm Up. He said, the most dangerous thing in the world on an NBA court is an open white guy in the corner. So
that's true. Like, rather be Larry Bird, J.J. Redick,
Jason Capone.
Yeah. Wow. You know? Paul. Richie Fromm.
So me, Mayweather, Bieber, Snoop, Chris Brown, Soulja Boy, Sean Merriman, The Game, J.B. Smoove, Deshaun Jackson, Rajon Rondo.
Oh,
that was a fun time.
God.
That now, was a really fun time.
How...
I scored 2 points. Baron Davis is the MC. He said, the pizza man with two. And I was like, yo, why? Why am I the pizza man? He goes, because you literally look like a guy who can deliver a fucking pizza.
Who has the, who had the most game out of
yeah.
all
these
people? I played with Chris Brown a bunch. Yeah. He was in this entertainment league I was in, and I played with him in like a 3-on-3 tournament where our team signed up for the wrong division. Like, we thought we got to the park, and we're like, oh, we're in the Legends division, not the All-Star division.
That's all right.
So, Chris Brown's super killer.
Is the competition in those games, I want to think that it's not 24-hour fitness level where, like, everyone, when you get the ball, is like, yo, man, I'm playing for a contract. Is there more passing, or is it still?
I did the Sports Spectacular one, which is a great charity that raises money for Cedar Sinai out in Westwood, and Sal Masekela tore his Achilles in the game, and I was guarded by a wide receiver, Keenan Allen, for the San Diego Chargers.
Allen, yeah.
Didn't really get open. That was kind of a tough one. You know, you got Keenan Allen guarding you.
Sure.
And then Brian Scalabrine is the greatest basketball player I've ever seen in my life.
Who's never played.
360 dunks, like it was nothing. What? Shooting threes,
no look.
Ball handling, he's like 6'10", dribbling the ball.
He was
no
at SC while I was there.
Yo,
he's
so nice.
And
I was
there's
like,
a video of him going, I don't know if it was Rucker Park or if it was like some street ball thing where they started clowning him because he's this famous bench warmer in the NBA. And then he gets out there and just fucking smokes. All like yeah, I'm sorry, the professor, but it's not good.
Special Olympics unified game where they have, you know, the Special Olympics athletes play and celebrities play, and Ryan Hollins, you know, he's like the 12th man in the NBA for like years, played at UCLA, was on the bench for the Clippers. He was like, do you want to see what it's like to get posted up by an NBA athlete? I was like, yes, please. Next play down, Special Olympics game, totally like drop set me, posted me up, dunked on my face. I was like, oh shit, like this is a whole other.
That's got to be weird when you know that, he could just flip that switch.
Meta was playing in jeans in that and like work boots and just
still killing it probably.
You know, shooting threes from 25 feet.
Sure, like he does.
It's LA though, but it's like, this is how dumb LA is, and your listeners who aren't from here are going to be like, he's the worst. But like, you come out here and you get to play in like a charity game where your friend's the publicist and they need actors and they need guys and hosts, and you go and play, and like Terrell Owens is in the game and you're like, whoa, holy shit, that's awesome. And then like 5 years later, you've worked out at Equinox 12 times and played with Terrell Owens 9 times and you're like, this guy's the fucking worst. He doesn't pass the ball. I've met him I was on his team in a rec league once for a whole season and he doesn't know me. Like, this guy's he's like not a nice guy.
Yeah, the fun games seem like the ones where the guys like
yelling at the refs. It's like exactly what Terrell Owens would be in charity pickup basketball.
Dude, yeah, you can't like...
You heard it here first, people.
Yeah. I mean, look, I was in the comedy league once and I did get into a fight with a ref who was in a wheelchair, but like, look, sometimes my footwork down low in the post, I worked on it a lot in 1995 in the sixth grade. Sometimes I look quicker than I am.
It's the secrets to getting older. You asked me if I still play. I feel like I can play because my high school coach, shout out to Ray Vokel, most consecutive Division I made field goals for American University for a very long time. He was the one who established, like, you got to have the fundamentals. You got to post up. And when I go play in the park and there's some 22-year-old kid who can jump out the gym, I can still kind of lock him up
or
do the old man footwork up and under game. And
how is ESPN to work for, like, the ESPYs and shit that you've...
ESPN's awesome because you go to work and they're like, all right, you're doing 2 hours of radio today. Keyshawn Johnson's in and we're going to have Herm Edwards call. And you're like... okay, this is
so
awesome.
You find out every day when you're going in.
Yeah, you go in, so-and-so got traded to the Cowboys, so we're going to have Parcells call in, talk a little Cowboys, and you're just like, what?
How much prep do you do or get to do? Or
no, it's breaking news. It's a news organization. So when you're doing live radio, stuff happens. You get a guest or, you know the night before. Hey, we had this dude, Carl Douglas was our in-house legal counsel. He was on OJ's defense team. So during the documentary and the scripted series, after each episode, we'd have Carl Douglas call in and
talk
stories and stuff. And you're just like, the access and legitimacy of the guests on this podcast is so amazing that they get real people on here.
Awesome. And then you're on today, Mason Ireland out here in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And that's a I've been on that show before. It's fun.
You should come down, dude. I would love to. Know, were you on with Mason Island, or who were we on with that day?
That was you and...
Kamenitsky, do we have? And Marcellus? No? Marcellus Wiley? Yeah. But yeah, the Mason Island, like the old dudes and the Muppets in the balcony. Right?
Yeah, like exactly.
Doing it for years.
Yeah, and it's just, I love the I love where the lines get blended with sports and entertainment, and that's really what you guys do, because some sports reporters are taking it, like, you know, way too seriously, and then some guys are, you have the Dan Le Batard show, which is maybe 10% sports and 90% whatever.
That show's grown on me a lot. I like that show a lot.
Stu Gatz, man.
Stu Gatz has a lot of Mason in him, I feel like. I feel like Mason and Stu Gatz are cut from the same cloth.
Absolutely.
What's the biggest difference between... Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to ask you, and you guys would know this better than me, because... Yeah. As comedians, who I know you have a passion for sports, and I know you do too, like, why hasn't anyone really cracked the sports and comedy nut? It seems like it's always just kind of
blame Dennis Miller
when they try to do something like that.
Yeah.
Will Ferrell's Norm kicking McDonald's. And screaming doesn't work, but Talladega does, but semi-pro kind of does. And
yeah,
I don't know. It's just always. With the guy with the Frank Caliendo does some stuff over the years. Mm-hmm. It's really funny.
That to me is a great example, I feel like, of what it is. Like, Caliendo does those things in bits. And I feel like for a lot of people that watch sports that do, you know, we do take it seriously. Like, as much as, like, it is fun and, like, there's such a fratty, like, looseness to the whole genre. But, like, those Caliendo things happen. And then I feel like it's like you watch it and you go, cool, that was enough of taking the piss out of this. But now I kind of want to get into it and I think...
Because as a fan, if you don't hold it as being really serious and important, then what is it?
Yep.
And it's watching millionaires run around in laundry that
1,000%,
you don't care, right? Yeah. You know what I mean? So
if
you have to hold it as this, oh my God, the fate of the universe is who wins game 7 for all the bragging rights and all history. And at the end of the day, you're like... All these guys won the game of life. Like, everybody's fine.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's why...
Don't pay attention behind the curtain.
Totally. Like, mm-hmm. I would love to see some sort of, like, Tosh-type show with all those... And I know they've tried. I mean, our friend Michael Costa did this sports-type show with Regis Philbin, and it was, like, you know, sports and comedy and
yeah, saw Reg Oscar night at a party.
Getting all right,
it.
Go on.
Still partying?
I was like, oh, going home? He's like, you kidding? Going to Tao. I was like, it's Reg. Get that Asian fusion. Sick.
Dude, I feel like there's certain people like Bob Barker, Regis, like, are just, we're going to have them for another 20, 30 years. I'm convinced they've tapped into something we don't know about.
Right.
It's a pill or a protein. Like,
how about Russell Simmons, back to him, when you see old Run-DMC photos, you're like, he looks like shit. Yeah. And then you see him now, you're like, he's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's glowing.
Yeah.
What's
yeah.
that? He's sweating Avion. This is ridiculous.
Yoga, that'll do it.
That's it, man.
I want to ask you, when you're doing those celebrity pickup games or whatever, is there anything in your head that goes, I could jam Bieber with an elbow?
I mean, you definitely have some guys who are like, you know, watch my good side.
Yeah.
But those things are fun, man. And I don't know, you raise a lot of money, and it's a good. Who did I want to, like, totally? Is there anybody I've ever, like, tried to get in, like, a thing with? What's his name? Not Soldier Boy. Soldier Slim from Cash, from No Limit Soldiers. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Master P guy.
Yeah, Master P guy. He was a baller. He was in my league. I remember playing, being like, yeah, I really want to see if I'm good as Soldier Slim. So we went at it one time.
didn't expect
the story going that way, huh?
Love that.
The sports comedy thing, we should investigate that, by the way.
You know what I'm saying? It's like movies, TV shows, a consistent platform, the go-to destination of, like, what's killed it. When you think of, like, the best moments in the history of sports comedy content, is it Celtic Pride, Major League?
Yeah.
They don't make movies like those anymore.
No.
What is it? I love Celtic Pride, by the way.
Big Mighty League, Ducks.
Little Big League. Dude, we dropped Mighty Ducks. I mean, there really is, like, you know, I don't know. And I don't think it's, people just haven't found the right collection of, you know, people, ideas, and the amount of comedy. But I feel like
White Man Can't Jump. There used to be great sports comedies in the 90s.
When's the last great sports comedy that wasn't a real, like a Blades of Glory type thing, that wasn't
that gymnastics one that opened Sundance, Bronze, a couple years ago?
Oh, the Bronze. Yeah.
That was kind of funny.
Yeah.
Andy Samberg did the, 10 Days in Hell?
Yeah, the tennis one, right? Yeah. So it's tough, though, right? And I feel like there should be more of it. And I feel like, Adam,
because it's so rich for parents.
If you come with the sports romantic comedy. Oof. That's your sweet
spot. Love and Basketball?
Oh, I used to date a girl. She went to Dalton. Lauren Alexander. We used to watch that movie, Ice Each Other's Knees. Go shoot around.
Is that a euphemism for something?
Yeah, it was the best.
What in sports, just to wrap up that chunk of your life, I mean, again, like the experiences that you've been afforded to be able to participate in. I mean, I'm sure like Lakers finals games or even as a kid, like New York. I mean,
seeing Super my Bowls. Dad passed out in the shower after the Bill Buckner 86 game was kind of traumatic, obviously.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And being with him when they won that first World Series and he got a shout out on SportsCenter, that was pretty cool that night. That was an all timer. I mean, I have this new show with NBA TV, so we just got to go to All Star Weekend and shoot our show.
What show?
It's called The Warm Up. It's me, Tony Rock, and Ro Parrish. Used to be a DJ for the Mavericks.
Oh, my God.
Half hour live Thursday nights on Twitter with the NBA. And I go to Atlanta every week and do it. And
at Turner Studios?
Yeah. And so we went down to All-Star Weekend and we took a car from the hotel to the arena and we couldn't get there. It was an hour. It's Mardi Gras. We went one block. And so me, Ro, Tony, and Ernie Johnson walked through Mardi Gras to the stadium. And people, where's Charles? Hey, Ernie! And he's got his bow tie and his notes. Mm-hmm. And we were just hoofing it and telling stories.
Oh,
and I was
my
like,
God.
That was super killer.
Have you been to an All-Star Weekend before?
Yeah, never professionally, let's put it that way. I've been to All-Star Weekends in other capacities. But never on this level, like with the NBA. It's really cool.
Wait, so you go every week to Atlanta?
Every Thursday, yeah.
Holy shit,
yeah,
dude.
I fly down that 6:30 Delta flight, land, try not to go to Chick-fil-A, soul search a little bit, and then I get on the monorail and go to the station and do the show and fly back Friday.
Wow.
Amazing.
But come on, you're a comedian. I'm in Tucson. Yeah. I got two nights in Dallas.
For sure. Tony Rock,
I'm always like, wow, Tony, I'm doing 6,000 miles a week. He's like, dude, that's a weekend sometimes. Like, you guys go hard.
Yeah. No, I mean, we're traveling every weekend right now. I mean, it's like, but that's, dude, that's.
What's your favorite seat on Southwest? You know about 12A? You walk on 12A, it's the one on the left that has no seat in front of it.
Yes, good call.
At least on the LA Vegas flights, 12A.
That Turner Studios is amazing, huh?
Oh, dude, sitting in the office and arguing with Kevin Garnett if Ben Wallace should be a Hall of Famer, it's like the coolest.
Have you been on, what's the name of his?
Area 21.
Yeah. What do you think of that?
I love it, man, because he's that intense during the breaks and in the station and it's really cool to watch the games on your on TV and then have your computer open and watch his little segments. And it's so dope when he's sitting there talking with Gary Payton and you're just like, dude, these guys.
Because he brings that same intensity that he did as a player.
He's sitting in the office. You think Ben Wallace is a Hall of Famer? Oh, man. Who else could guard Shaq one-on-one? Name someone, dog. Name someone. You're like, I can't name anyone. Like, I'm sorry, Kevin Garnett.
Arvidas Sabonis, maybe? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
That's the thing, too, with sports and comedy. When you look at a show like Inside the NBA and being such a top like show that encompasses like so much of both out, like they're just as heavy comedy as they are reporting the facts.
It's so good. And it's the guys are just themselves. And back to hosting, you know, it's just, I mean, Ernie's the best at keeping him on the tracks and then they just let them go and do their thing. And it's
you could do that job. I feel like be that guy,
the Ernie guy.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Ernie. Where's Ernie going? He's doing two-a-days. He's doing baseball. He's doing golf. Like that dude goes hard.
Wait, so the warm-up, what is the like main theme?
It's half hour live on Twitter. So it's talking about the games. That'll be a doubleheader that night on TNT. And then just finding fun stuff. Like we had Detlef Schrempf in the studio. And
good dude.
Yeah, Detlef's awesome. Asked him a bunch of questions. Go down memory lane, Sonic stuff. You know?
Does he remember meeting me at a Red Robin in Federal Way in 1995?
He brought that up, actually.
The next time he's on the show, I'm going to ask him that and do a split screen.
I'll send you the picture. Yeah. You can show it to him.
That's what we would do on that show. If you sent me a picture of you and Detlef Schrempf, we would show it to him the next time he's on.
Kendall Gill's in there, too, because it was the meet Gill and Schrempf, which should be the name of a Beach Cop duo show that I, on PAX, shout out to PAX if they're still around, and we waited outside Red Robin for 7 hours, dude. My mom, my sister and I was like, Mom, you can meet Shrimp and Gill at Red Robin. She's like, let's go. She didn't know like how long it was going to be, and we finally got there in the picture, and I was like, you guys are the greatest, and he was like, thank you, and then that was it, but like, greatest day of my life.
It meant everything to you, man.
Still got that photo.
Now you can go on Detlef Shrimp's Instagram, see a photo of him at the Red Robin. You don't need to wait online anymore. Right. That's what it is.
He's
now,
on
you know?
Instagram, of course he is. What's Shrimp posting on Instagram?
You know, so our show is about, you know, lifestyle, fashion, you know, all that fun stuff. So it's been dope, man. And the vault of footage they have is so bananas, because you'll say, can you pull up a footage? I think it was like a slam dunk contest when Patrick Ewing was wearing a mock, like, purple turtleneck and had like reading glasses. And they're like, oh, yes, absolutely. Houston, 1990. And,
how do they, 1989. They don't type that in like a Google search.
They do. They have a whole server of like anything. So if you want to be like, can you find out like Craig Elo's stats
against,
as a Sonic against the Bulls in regular season games? Like, you know, without being an asshole and taking up all their bandwidth, within reason, right. They're like, you can they'll find this stuff.
By the way, if I get in that position, don't ask.
You know what I mean? They'll find the stuff.
I just think that's what heaven is. Heaven is this giant Google server with stuff like that.
Dude, that sounds like a fantasy camp for a dude.
Oh my God. Do you remember the time Mike Connolly was injured? He broke his face and on the bench. He wore a Vancouver snapback, but he was with Memphis. And they're like,
what was the name of the peanut guy?
Yeah. It's like they have all this footage because they shot. You know, the NBA, I remember seeing Adam Silver speak at South by last year, and he talked about how the NBA's always been a media company. Like, NBA entertainment was a thing. As a kid, my dad, mm-hmm. during my car, he just dubbed from VHS to DVD, like, Michael Jordan's Playground and Dazzling Dunks and Basketball Bloopers sure. and NBA Superstars.
NBA
and,
Superstars 2 was my thing. I would watch that shit.
Yeah, dude.
When it
opened it up a little bit.
Yeah.
It had Sean Kemp on it, and it had a collaboration with Rakim, and it was
there's
like,
music. And highlights
videos and,
you saw Charles Barkley dunk into Born to Be Wild. Are you kidding me? That was the shit. I love that tape.
I learned about the Bengals and about, like, you know, music from that. I
right.
remember Whitney Houston, Dr. J, like, you know.
Patti LaBelle sang on Jordan's highlights, sang the song Feels Like Another One.
Exactly.
Why the hell do I know that song? Dude, because of that tape.
The dude from Menace to Society was the lead in Michael Jordan's Playground or Come Fly With Me, one of the sequels of the Michael Jordan one. The lead in Menace, who's like Jamie Foxx's homie. So every time you interview Jamie Foxx, the dude from Michael Jordan's Playground is at the interviews. And so that's who I go nerd
that's
out.
True.
My boss at E would be like, why do you have 10 minutes with Jamie Foxx about Michael Jordan's Playground? Like, that's not what we wanted to know.
That's not what you wanted, but I think that's what America wants.
Wait,
you
know. Question. Do they have footage of, like, extra footage of the Pistons-Pacers brawl, and have you asked for
that? That's the thing, right? It's like, there hasn't been a big fight in the NBA since that. I remember watching that live.
You watched that live?
Yeah, it was a Friday night in New York. There was randomly on ESPN, and you're watching the game, and that's it. And man, it's been so wild now to do stuff with Meta, to do stuff with Ron Artest.
Do you ever,
he talks about it all the time. Absolutely.
What is he?
You know, how messed up a situation it was and how he handled it wrong and how he paid the price for it. And if you think about the fact that he was, you know, he lost millions of dollars
and
suspended for a season and all was that.
Yeah.
You know, and now he could be at the Kids' Choice Awards, like getting slimed on, or everybody loves Meta World. He's a Panda's friend.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Everybody
he's
loves
made a
the
comeback.
Champion. He's a, you know, and he's an advocate for mental health issues and he's out there creating content and cartoons. Like, Meta's awesome to think he was in the malice at the palace. Like, that was nuts.
That's
Steven
crazy,
Jackson.
Man.
That might be Steven Jackson. Yeah, I just met him at the airport, and I had to, in a 10-minute conversation, had to ask him about it. But it was just like,
so you could be a correspondent on our show. We got to do that, man,
dude.
You know what you got to come
1,000%.
With me to? Boom in WNBA All Star Weekend, Seattle, Washington.
When
this
is
summer?
It?
July 21st, 2nd, and 3rd.
Oh, that's my bachelor party.
Damn.
WNBA. WNBA Seattle. What better place for a bachelor party?
Brad, this is all right.
What?
Well,
tons of athletic
friendship
games?
On the line.
Come on.
Friendship on the line. Is Sue Bird going to be there?
Oh, my God. Oh, bachelor
Brad,
Freddy?
Is Sue Bird going to be at your
WNBA All Star Weekend? Seattle, Pacific
right.
Northwest in the summertime.
It's my one get out of jail free card.
If I can get Rebecca Lobo to be the entertainment,
Rebecca Lobo and a bottle of Chardonnay.
It's done.
You guys are ready to go.
Dude, that's
killer, huh?
I mean, I would love to find a way to blend the comedy sports world with you, for sure.
Yeah.
Some correspondence or something.
You got to figure it out.
It's dope that you've been able to really, like, take all your skill sets and you know, in like the NBA live, like the live aspect, and then the sports and the just conversing with people on the fly. Like, it seems like you, which I guess is what you do. Like, I don't know who said it, Brad. You might know because you know shit like this. But like, you use everything that you.
Steve Martin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, is it a fucking Sherry O'Terry?
I'm that weird computer that brings up stats.
That's dope. You mentioned that I was at an NBA Legends brunch All-Star Weekend recently. Grant Hill was getting honored, and Kristen Ledlow from Inside Stuff took us, and we all went. And David Robinson was speaking, and he says, I think it was a quote from maybe George Washington Carver said something to the effect of like, start with what you have and then go from there, mm-hmm. which is so true, right? As people are looking to advance their life and their careers and to find their way. And it's like, you have so much around you. You have so much within you. Even if you don't have relationships or connections, you've got enthusiasm, you've got knowledge, you've got determination. Like, you have all these resources at your disposal. You just got to creatively think about how you can bring value.
And if you're Ben Lyons, you have a piece of the aggro crack in your house.
You know what I mean?
I mean, so, and I think I think that's what we all have to take away from it.
The most treacherous mountains in life, you know, with just a little perseverance and you know, a 10-second head start because you won the slalom.
As we wrap up, I just want to do something that a friend of ours does on a podcast where he names some people and you just say something about them that comes to your mind.
Oh, yeah? All right, let's do it.
Mario Lopez.
Excited. What's up, buddy? Hey, man. What's up, buddy?
Always.
Excited.
That's real.
He's excited. He's in the gym at 5.
What?
He's ready to go.
I guess you have to be. I shouldn't be surprised by that.
Great performance as Greg Louganis in a TV movie once.
Ooh.
Sports and comedy. It wasn't so much a comedy. But
yeah,
it's kind of funny because it's Mario doing
That's another
it.
Guy so that I'm like, you mentioned.
You see everywhere or whatever.
Yeah, well, Miley doing like a breakout. Like, where's Mario? Like, I would like.
Greg Louganis.
Hey, man, the guy can't act. He's proven it. Like,
I could see him in the basement in Pulp Fiction, sitting there with an apple in the corner, being what's up, man?
One can only hope.
What's up, dude?
Marshawn Lynch.
Beast mode. Marshawn Lynch is amazing. I don't know why I'm doing word association. You didn't tell me to do that. But I love seeing how curious he is with playing off of people's awkwardness or uncomfortable, you know, nature. It's really cool to see him travel, that thing he did in Ireland where he was going over there with Skittles or whatever.
Yeah, he almost got hit by a bus.
You know, like, I think it's coming from a place of curiosity.
Looking for the bus, it didn't hit him.
Curiosity about uncomfortableness, like awkwardness. I don't think it's because he's just super curious and wants to meet all types of people. It's the opposite. I think he wants to play in that space of you know, misconception and
go outside his comfort zone.
Yeah, I think he's awesome.
Is it cool that athletes, do you enjoy when athletes do show that much of themselves and kind of go against the grain?
Absolutely, man. I don't want to see Marshawn Lynch sitting on NFL Tonight being like analyzing a defense. You know what I mean? I want to see him out
Anybody can do that.
You know, like, I want to see him out there in the world touching people and doing stuff. So,
Carson Daly.
Man, that's the career, dude. Oh, what?
Right?
Last call to Carson Daly. He's been on for 15 years at 1 o'clock in the morning on NBC or whatever. And he gets to have cool people on the show and play golf, have kids.
Yep.
He just won the Pebble Celeb Pro-Am.
Yep.
Crushing the Orange Room. I have a fun game with a friend of mine at Universal. Her name's Tara Martino. She's a publicist. And I always like to just take anyone's career and I can just make it be like, huge and just so awesome. Like, Carson's is so it's not that hard to do.
Still, but on still the radio, host a morning radio show.
He wants to talk. He wants
the voice.
He wants to do something with some Coachella band called Cucumber Surprise. Like, he can. He wants to do something with Nick Faldo. He can. He wants to do something on the Today Show with Scarlett Johansson. Right. He can. Like, he can do whatever he wants.
By the way, I just remembered in talking about multiple gigs when you did. Were we friends at this point? Yahoo on the Road.
Where I crossed in Seattle.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's right. How did that gig come about?
I had done some, you know, freelance gig with Yahoo here and there, hosting one-offs and stuff, and they had this idea of a way to introduce a lot of new product, a weather app, a new... They'd go across the country and put on these concerts, and we went 5 weeks on a bus. It was my first real time in America. Like, let's be honest, I grew up in New York. I live in L.A. Yeah. I don't really know, like, 11 o'clock on a Friday and... hour outside St. Louis. What do you guys want to get into? You know, like, I just,
Hooters is all that's
so open. We went to Dallas, Cincinnati, Seattle, Idaho. Like, we had Macklemore and Kendrick Lamar and Imagine Dragons and John Legend, and they had some really good artists, and we came on stage and introduced them, and that was really fun.
Tour bus life, pretty dope. I just did it for the first time. He's done it before.
Yeah. So dope when you're not driving.
Like, come on.
Man, everyone, I'm the host. I sit in the back. I got all the DVDs from the gas stations, the dollar box.
Your DVD gas station.
I'll watch, like, you know, The Firm for $1. You know, it's dope.
Long Kiss Goodnight. Sure, why not?
Michelle Beadle.
Michelle Beadle has worked it out for herself because she just, like, lets everyone know, like, hey, I love the Spurs. I love staying home and watching Game of Thrones. I know everything about sports and I drink wine. Like, pay me tons of money. And she's, like, really good live. She's as comfortable doing live at a NBA finals or whatever as she is sitting on the couch watching Game of Thrones or whatever. Like, she's super cool.
Love
we did 2 weeks of radio together. It was like 2 summers ago, maybe. And yeah, we were up at 5 a.m. every day. And she's, yeah, Beatles awesome.
Is somebody like that, does she go out of her way to throw advice as somebody like you who's a few, you know, she's got some years on you experience wise, right?
Like, oh, let me tell you about back in my day.
Yeah, you pick her brains,
but she's somebody who knows her voice and knows her self worth and knows.
Do you pick up from watching, or do the people like that, do they go out of the way to say, like, oh, or do you ask?
You seek it out, you know what I mean? You hear with athletes too, who might be like, yo, I was a rookie and I made sure, you know, Kevin Garnett speaks fondly of Sam Mitchell and his time in Minnesota. And it's like, yeah, you want to pick people's brains and ask them for nuggets and advice, for sure. She knows the value of like what she brings to the table and her gravitas and her voice, and you can take that from Beatle for
Hell sure. Yeah. Kobe Bryant,
man, these Laker fans love him, huh? I didn't understand how real it was till I moved here.
Yeah,
I thought, oh, he's one of the best players in the game, he's a superstar. It's a religion.
Yeah, it's the Church of Kobe. It's pretty nuts.
It's unreal. Unreal. And moving here when I did was like 06. So that was
prime
Kobe versus everybody mode.
We're gonna
lose by, I don't care, I'm taking. And then it was the championships and the three finals appearances.
Yeah.
The game last year, you know, the ride off in the sun. These Laker fans, like, you're complaining, oh, I haven't been in the finals in 7 years. You know, it's like, no, you got the Kobe victory tour.
Yeah.
You tried to cut the line with Dwight Howard and Steve Nash. And now you have to suffer. And this is your first year of being in the basement. And get comfortable. It's going to be 10 years.
It's like weird coming from a Knicks fan where it's like, you're not guaranteed anything. We're Knicks fans. We know.
No, Knicks have replaced the Cubs now. And that's like, oh, it's the sorriest franchise.
Yeah, 1972.
You know, so how old are you?
33,
and you grew up in Orange County. All right, so when you first discovered basketball.
Yeah.
That was showtime.
87-88.
Oh, wow.
Back-to-back
Byron
championships.
Scott and Michael Thompson. And
spoiled.
Byron Scott was my favorite player.
Oh, totally, right? So that's when you're falling in love with the game in your backyard. You got tickets to the Forum.
And then you had Magic. And then,
oh, killer.
Even in like the mid-90s.
When they were bad, the mid-90s.
It was still fun players.
Second
like
round of the playoffs.
Nick Van Exel was
Siddell
cool.
Three.
Those guys.
Eddie Jones. Eldon Campbell.
Eddie Jones.
Cedric Ceballos. Did you say that?
Sure.
93, you're an 8 seed. You win 2 games against Phoenix. I ultimately lose, but so what?
It's somewhat there. And then
it's, you start drinking, right? You start drinking and watching sports. That's a different relationship,
yeah,
right?
Totally.
When you're 11 and you're waiting for an autograph, when you're 21 and you're trying to go to the party,
yeah.
What's that? That's Shaq and Kobe.
That's right? Shaq and Kobe.
Oh, man. You're hanging out with your friends watching Shaq and Kobe, Rick
going
Fox,
to the parades.
Finals, parades.
0.04 seconds.
Drinking at the parade. Right? Then, fast forward a little bit. What do you get? You get money for the first time in your life. You're a working comedian. You've done some jobs. The Red Bull check clears. The podcast getting downloads.
You're courtside a Laker game. You're dancing on the jumbotron. You meet Chris Pratt in the bathroom.
You know what I mean?
That's happened.
Your friends have money. You got courtside. Now you're winning. Andrew Bynum comes to town. Youngest player ever. All-star for Bynum. Two titles.
Twin Towers with him and Powell.
And, oh, the disaster of Karl Malone and Gary Payton when you only got to the finals. What a disaster that
got to
was.
Game 7.
You guys are so against fucking Detroit. Spoiled. It's unreal. But right, those three life marks.
Yes.
Falling in love with the game, drinking, having money. You had nothing but success at all three of those key
which
developmental
means
stages.
In, which
really
means
analyzing.
In,
it's amazing.
By the way, you asked me, what do you mean when you say Kobe Bryant?
The question was, did you play a musical instrument as a child?
Right. Which means in 7 years, when you say we're going to be good again, that's about when, on the life track, that's probably when my first kid will be like just aware of basketball.
Ball jersey too.
Yeah. You know, and you're like, well, let's fucking watch the Lakers. Let's watch the ball
brand.
Kids.
Yeah, Lakers jersey. So much success.
And then that's when we'll hit
you
it
are
again.
Spoiled. You know what? Fuck you, Brad.
Kobe. So Kobe, like I said, that now, but you do the radio out here and you'll go off. You're like, yeah, you know, he's 35 and he just missed last season with an Achilles. And I don't know if it's the best idea. What? He's Kobe Bryant. He's still the greatest player of all time. He's got 5 rings. And you're like, all right, Jimmy in Alhambra. Thanks for calling.
Yeah. I was definitely on the fan track of, please retire, Kobe.
Oh, really?
I was definitely on that track.
I wanted please resort to being like the ninth man on a team and shoot
you're
the ball
not
6 times.
The dude.
No,
come off the bench the same way Paul
Kobe.
Pierce is doing right now for the Clippers.
It's not happening for
Kobe. By the way, I went to that Clippers game the other night where they honored Pierce and he didn't even get in the game. And I was like, Doc, man, like, what? Like, is there something?
What do they honor Pierce for? Is Paul Pierce night?
Well, I mean, it was just like
his last game against the Celtics or something.
Yeah, that's what it was. And they put him up, and I was like, What the f- like? What is? What?
Let him hit a shot.
He hit the 3-pointer in his last game in Boston. Yeah, so maybe want to end it on that.
Kiss the floor.
I guess, but like, I as you saw from his bowling performance on my show, yep. he's not really doesn't really have it anymore.
touch. Two more. Adam Sandler.
Sandler's one of those dudes who gets to just like do what he wants and do it with the people he wants to do it with. Like, I touched his world a little bit with the Happy Madison stuff with House Bunny.
Yeah.
And it's all his friends hanging out on set and the same people work on the same movies. And that's kind of the way it should be, right?
How do you feel about the people who, like, as you're like us that came up with his movies, right? So, like, obviously there's been a shift, like, and people shit on it now. They're like, why are you making. But it's like, he's probably making more money than he ever did.
Makes him all the money you want to do. You get to travel the country with your five best friends and do your stand-up and go on every talk show dressed in sweatpants. Like, he figured it out. Yeah. Like, what? Yeah. And, okay, with the, you know, cinephile in me, like, to see him walk closer to, like, Punch Drunk Love. And to,
Spanglish and stuff like
the
that.
The Judd Apatow one that I love that's
Funny
really
people.
Good. That's pretty long, but really good.
Yeah, Funny People,
Can he do more of that? Like,
maybe he doesn't want
to. He doesn't want to. Like, I remember Jerry Ferrara once was like, yo, I'm trying to go in this movie. I don't want to sit in the desert in Arizona and cry for 3 months and lose weight and, like, do all this stuff. Like, Adam Sandler, you want to go make a movie with your buddies and
about
Selma Hayek?
Yeah, about peeing in the pool. Peeing in the pool in a water park. Yeah,
fucking go for it.
And Shaq and Dan Pe- like, you get
totally.
Like,
and I don't know. Like, I had nothing but.
Rex Ryan from Adam Ray's second favorite team, the Jets, is in it.
Yeah.
I liked a movie with Sandberg where they're like father and son.
Yeah.
They're in Rhode Island or whatever.
That's my boy.
That movie's great.
Yeah.
That movie's great.
All right, last one. Jeffrey Lyons.
Ah, the man.
Yeah.
The greatest dad I could ever ask for. So supportive. The most intelligent man in the world. Like, he knows stuff about presidents and kings and politics and history, and he's so well traveled and informed. And
when do you check in with him?
Or every day I talk to him every day. We watch each other's stuff. We send funny clips to each other, and I love, you know, talking to him about. I remember he had an interview T.I. and I was giving him stuff, and he was like, his whole intro was like, I'm here with the rubber band man. And T.I. was just so shocked that he, like, knew all his stuff.
Have you helped to educate your dad on some of the more, like, just current artists and people?
Oh, yeah. We get into it all the time. Absolutely. We get into it all the time with actors and musicians, and it's really funny that he still wants to go out there and see film at the level that he's doing it at. And the people he interviewed Snoop for... that movie, like a horror movie once called Bones, and I gave him all these lyrics to quote, and it's just so fun to share it with him.
That's great.
It's he's the best.
I love that you guys have that bond, and love that you have that common job. And
he invented the real fan life, man. He has a Red Sox fan in New York. He knew which side of the street in Sixth Avenue he could listen to the game on the radio in the 80s, and it was like next to an Armenian music station, so you'd be like, oh, Wade Boggs on deck, and like it would bleed in at a station.
Oh my God.
And he's just like, he listens to about 155 Red Sox games on the radio a year. That's amazing. Pretty impressive if you don't live in Boston.
Like,
that's
incredible.
That's pretty hardcore.
Yeah. So he's diehard Boston.
Oh, my God. Not across all sports, just with the Red Sox. He's in spring training right now. He goes on Thursday, actually.
Spring training's the greatest. We've been there,
Yeah. We went for my high school baseball team would go in Arizona, and we'd do that. That was always fun. I mean, there's sports comedy in that. High school, private school baseball team goes to Arizona for spring training
in
the 90s.
We should really.
ASU, Hooters. There's the movie there.
Dude.
It's a movie, right?
Call your buddy Adam Sandler. You could do it.
Sandler produces for Netflix. Adam Ray stars as the JV baseball coach.
Oh my God.
We had a JV coach, this guy Noah Lefevre. He would come and he'd be like, Ben, I'm addicted to action. I was at the Indian casino last night till so late. You know, you could do a whole.
It's a great idea.
Great idea.
There might be some entourage ballers like in there, but like a low level. I mean,
private school in New York City. They go out to Arizona, and we stayed in like a motel on the side of a freeway. We were praying there's a softball team from Iowa there.
This was high school?
Yeah, like 97, 98.
I took so many high school basketball trips, so I'm sure those elements, like, there's same.
Arizona Mills Mall.
You're trying to find trouble because you're in high school and you're out of your fucking zone.
This is a funny one. I was on the bus at Sundance, which is like the best way to meet people and get around the festival. And some guy said he does lifestyle movie marketing. He does test screenings. I said the best test screening I ever went to was an early screening for Scary Movie at the Arizona Mills Mall, like a test screening. It was 18 of us in high school, and we're 18. He goes, yo, that screening got me a promotion. It was a legendary screening of how successful the scare. Weinstein's moved the premiere up. We did all this stuff off of that screening, and here we are on the bus of Sundance.
Oh my God.
It was like movietickets.com, you know, research screenings whatever. Yeah. Mm. 18 dudes up in there in Arizona screaming at Scary Movie like it's the funniest movie ever.
Yeah, dude, there's
like, what's the funniest movie you remember seeing as a
kid? Austin Powers.
Going to see Austin Powers, you lost your mind.
Lost my mind.
Lost.
Mallrats.
Yeah,
like, but Austin Powers. British? What?
Yeah, come on.
The second one too.
What? When his teeth are a Cruise, mess. This is hilarious. Yes.
Right.
So funny.
Real quick side tangent. Quick last story. When you mentioned Wade Boggs, you made me think of when I chased Mariners Red Sox game at the Kingdom, and I waited for Mariners Jay Buhner, Edgar Griffin, whoever to come out to sign shit, and Boggs came out, and I chased him all the way to the bus. Went onto the bus. I was like 11 years old. Had a ball. By the time I got to the bus, he already had a beer in his hand. And I go, "Mr. Boggs, will you sign this?" I was on the bus. He signed it and then burped and blew it in my face. A beer burp. A Boggs beer burp.
Coming this summer from Adam Sandler. Boggs beer burp.
11 years old at the urinal in the press booth at Fenway Park. I look over. Is Reggie Jackson.
What?
Says, "Hey kid, who's your favorite player?" I said, "Wade Boggs. I love Wade." He looks at his buddy. He goes, "Yeah, Wade Boggs fucking sucks."
Ben Lyons, everybody.
Hey. Wade Boggs, if you're out there, come on the podcast and defend yourself.
There you go.
You're at Ben Lyons on all social media, yeah?
I am Ben Lyons, yeah. Adam Ray, thanks for having me on.
Dude, was the best.
This was awesome. Good to meet you. Good to see you.
Yeah, thanks.
Super cool.
Thank you. And we'll...
Brad.
We'll see you on Mason in Ireland soon.
Yeah, good luck with Lonzo Ball and your Figueroa parades next year. It's going to be a long summer until your next year winning a title.
Fuck asshole. You, Brad. Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.